Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're back with more rally news and views. I'm Lisa O'Sullivan, the humble rally fan in exalted company. We've got the experts, former team boss George Donaldson, senior staff writer at dirtfish.com, David Evans, and Dirtfish's very own voice of rally, Colin Clark. Good afternoon in lockdown, team.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
I hate saying lockdown. I'm bored of the word lockdown.
Yes, yeah. It is definitely starting to grate. What about just starting to rally properly again? I can't wait for it to start. I am getting to be seriously grumpy.
Yeah, George,
and everyone knows I'm normally such a sweet man.
Well, you are. You are. We're all in the UK, George, but you're suffering more than we are down in England. You're still quite literally locked down, aren't you, you poor thing?
Yeah, Colin, don't get me into talking about politics because it's going to be ugly. So I guess most people can figure out which way I'm leaning already.
Saying that, though, Colin and George, we should flag out that actually Scotland and England, two totally different countries, managed...
Not totally different country, good Lord.
The vote didn't
go all that way, did it?
But, guys, can I tell you something I've learned in lockdown? Which has astonished me. It's astonished me. Do you know Australia? We all know Australia, don't we? Because we all go to Australia.
Yep.
But it's a confederation of states. And the states can do their own thing. So what's happened in this period, and actually there's a bit of relevance because there are events that are being planned in certain states, and drivers in other states are saying, but we can't get to that state because the states individually can close their borders. The Queensland border between Queensland and New South Wales is closed. You can't get... I don't know how you get from one to the other. I don't know if you've got to show a passport from Queensland or something. I never knew that.
Subterfuge, Colin. Subterfuge.
So, yeah,
through
Tasmania
the woods. Rally country, mate.
But it's bizarre. Did you know that?
So, Cole,
I'm learning in lockdown.
I didn't know
what
that.
What you've actually delivered there is half a story, Cole, because you've told us there are individual states you can't cross the border. But how do you cross the border? That's what we want to know.
But you don't. You don't until the Queensland Premier, so the Queensland government say our borders are open again. No one's legally allowed to cross. As we know, the borders are massive and you probably can just go into the bush, turn left, go a mile or two, turn right, cross the border. You're all right. I'm not advocating that, David Evans. I'm not advocating that. That is not official Dirtfish policy. But I'm sure it's possible.
But that is also effectively what you could do in the UK, as I say, between the two countries of Scotland and England. But the point I was trying to make is that Scotland, as you're saying, Colin, the rules are completely different. So you could be living one side of the border and you're not supposed to leave your home and everyone else is heading for the beach 2 miles away.
Yes, we've got politicians saying that they'll follow the science. There's a first. There's a first. And it's the most horribly inaccurate science ever.
We really should quantify exactly what lockdown means.
In Scotland, if you leave your house and you're more than 5 miles away, and your name's not Dominic, you can be shot. I think you can be shot because the advice is really strongly to stay in your house and not do anything and get paler and paler. I'm actually, I've gone from white to blue. I think I'm transparent now. You can see
George,
right through me now. I've never had the sun.
George, you've got a beautiful garden. If you're not getting out
really
tending that garden.
That. No, that's not what the benevolent dictator wants us to do. I can't go out.
But we did.
We did talk
briefly about the green shoots of recovery, which is all very interesting. But I think probably most of our listenership, if that is indeed a word, are more interested in the shoots of recovery north of your head, Cole. How's that going?
Yeah, thanks, David.
How's the hair?
Yeah, well, there is news.
Did it come back?
There is news.
Did it come back?
There is news, and I will post a picture. It's amazing what you can do with a YouTube video and a beard trimmer and a very willing 13-year-old daughter. I tell you, she sat and watched YouTube videos and got the beard trimmer out, and we've actually got a bit of style going on for the second lockdown cut. We've blended. Now, there's a word. There's a word, David. Have you ever blended your own hair, David?
Have you cut
we've
it again?
Blended. We've blended it. We've blended. So it's nice and short at the sides.
You put makeup on it.
It's blended. Yeah.
Can we talk about rally cars, guys? Please, let's talk about rally cars.
Did you go
let's
to...
talk about rally cars.
I'm going to fade him down now because we do need to start talking
but
about
if we just before we move on, could we just ask, Cole, did you go to Turkey to get your hair blended? Sorry.
David, that was a
we're
private conversation.
Stop it. Because I want to hear about Sébastien Ogier.
Yes, quite right.
How much longer is Sébastien Ogier going to be a WRC rally driver?
Yeah, well, I suspect at least another 18 months is
good.
What he's saying to us. But it was quite an interesting thing, and he told us direct at Dirtfish during one of our Dirtfish debates. He said, look, no, I'm he more or less directly said, can you tell I'm just sitting on the fence with this? You know, I'm staying. But then he quantified that by saying, but I haven't spoken to Tommy yet. I haven't spoken to any of the other team bosses.
Fortunately, fortunately, we have spoken to Tommy. And Tommy said, yep, stay.
You know what? You can imagine that once again, he would have the pick of the three teams, wouldn't he, David?
Of course he would. Yeah.
And he obviously works well in that car. And it's quite remarkable how quickly he's adapted to it. And he looks like, you know, if you had to say who's the favourite for this season, however many more rounds we get, you have to say it's Ogier, isn't it? It's Ogier or Evans, potentially, because that car is, again, looking great. But it is interesting. He's in a very unique position where he can actually dictate. He can say, I'm staying for another year, David, without having to talk to anyone, in the knowledge that he will be able to stay if he wants to stay.
But, you know, that's what six world championships, that it buys you that ability, doesn't it? And he, you're quite right, Colly, he absolutely has the pick of the teams. What was interesting, what you said there, and I completely agree, is that I think he'll be champion this year because he has shown himself to be the most adaptable driver. You know, we've seen him come to new teams, win immediately, win Monte in the Fiesta, win it in the Citroen, all of that. And he, you know, when we get back to the sport, we will need drivers to be adaptable. If we go to Finland, let's think positive. There will not have been a great amount of driving done. They won't have done much testing. You'll need a driver who can jump into the car. And actually, Finland's not a great example because most recently, Sébastien hasn't gone so well in Finland. But the other events, potentially the cars will be compromised in their setup because they won't have had as much development testing. You'll need a driver who can just jump in, switch on and go. And that's, for me, that's Ogier.
Yeah, do you know what? Finland, it is Ogier. He's absolutely got all of those attributes. But you mentioning Finland there just makes you think, David, about the fact that we really have, there are one or two drivers that really do have to hit the ground running, in particular Ott Tänak, you know, because if we have a seven-round season, having lost one of those rounds, you know, it's a massive blow to him. It really is, with the 0 points from Monte Carlo. But, you know, we look to Finland and we look to Hyundai and you know, they've never gone well in Finland. As you say, Ogier in the Toyota, well, he's not gone well either. Evans has gone well in Finland in the past, as has Tänak. It's actually going to be quite a difficult one to pick. The Ford has gone well in Finland in the past. And it is going to be about, really, who finds their feet quickest. And particularly in Finland, where you can't afford to give time away, David, it's going to be an interesting one.
This is exactly the point with Finland, is that you get this, you know, this opportunity to just hit the ground and go. And talking to Jari-Matti Latvala about it, and he said he hasn't obviously competed since Sweden, he's missed Mexico, but this could open this window of opportunity for Jari-Matti, because very few drivers in the current field know Finland, know the route, know exactly what is required to win on that rally. He's won three times, and I think he's done it as 18 years in succession or something. There is not probably an inch of that route that he doesn't know, backwards, forwards, sideways. Potentially, Latvala could be the one, depending on how much tested they get before we go to Finland. Certainly, somebody like Ogier, somebody who hasn't had a great record recently, might struggle a little bit because so much of Finland's speed comes from confidence from previous results. And that's where I feel that Tanak could carry the Hyundai thing forward, because there's an element with drivers like Thierry that it's in the head now. You know, as much as these things ever get into a professional driver's head, I think it's there with Hyundai. It's almost a sort of mindset thing that we saw last year. Breen came along completely cold in that car, did Estonia a week or so before, and was running at the front. Okay, he had some preferential place on the road, but he was leading Hyundai, certainly for the first day, and it was only into Saturday that Mikkelsen got past him. And on Sunday, he had to pull over and let Thierry past. You know, that's not a team that's brimming with confidence heading to Jyväskylä. So I firmly think that Tanak, we saw in, where were we last, Mexico, he's got the speed, you know, in a reasonably unknown terrain. He can find the speed in that car, and I'm sure that Tanak could do that in Finland.
It's a different situation, though. Tanak in Mexico thought he had another, 11 rounds left, 10 rounds left in the championship to make up those 25 points he lost, 30 points from Monte Carlo. You know, it might be Finland and three others to make up those points. So he has to be fast and he has to be quick. But I think in Finland, I think we might get a surprise. I think we might see Lappi and Suninen going well. Lappi seems to be coming into things, that we certainly seem to be, in Mexico. And we know he's gone well there. We know the Ford can go well there. So, George, it's really a difficult one, because it is going to be about the teams getting their drivers match fit in quite a short period of time.
It will be. It absolutely will be, Colin. I mean, ultimately, we know that there are some drivers for which testing is everything. Now, all drivers have a propensity to want to test, and it is, of course, valuable. But some drivers get fixated on it. And if they don't get a great test, they're not going to have a great rally. Whereas other drivers are more pragmatic. Okay, we've had a test, didn't quite get the result we wanted, but we'll keep working on it. We know what we've got, we'll manage what we've got, and we'll do our best with it. Those are the guys that are going to win in Finland. So who can do that, Colin?
Famously,
who can do that?
In from linking to what you said there, George, Elvin Evans, when he did Argentina and missed out by 0.7 of a second, I'm sure he didn't have a test then. And when he won GB, he didn't have a test. So
there you go. So he's very strong. We know that Seb Ogier will dig deep, and he's a man that can quantify whatever concerns he's got, tuck them away, and get on with the job. I feel Ott Tanak can do the same. I don't know Thierry so well, but I feel that he's maybe a little bit more, you know, looking at him during an event. He does have one remarkable quality that I'll just discuss in a few seconds, but I think it very much depends on him being in exactly the right place, getting exactly the car he expects from the test. And it very often doesn't work out for him, as we see. However, Thierry, by the same token, and I'm not by any means suggesting he's got any deficiencies, far from it, He is one of the few drivers I've ever seen that can start a rally, have a tough day on the first day, not quite get the car right, halfway through the second day or even during the second day, all of a sudden the guy's nailing it, and on the last day he reels people in. The guy's a master at it. So again, even if he doesn't start off right, he is capable of refocusing in a way that I don't think I've ever seen any other driver manage that just as well as Thierry does.
But can you do that in Finland, George? You know, on such a fast rally, can you do that?
Well, you might not get back to a leading position, but you'll maybe get back to the top three, depending on how bad it was. And I'm just saying he does that anyway. So maybe he has an okay first day. Maybe he's lying second and he's just 6 or 7 seconds behind, but he's not been happy with the car. He's still managed that. If he does his normal thing, and it is normal for him to actually considerably improve through an event as he settles in and adapts himself to the car, or adapts the car to him. I'm not quite sure which way it is. But the guy can deliver big time. So I think he remains a threat. But I think he's quite clearly struggles to get the car he wants on the first day of the event very often.
George, I think the best example of that was Monte Carlo this year. Monte Carlo this year, I think it was the second day, service on the second day, he was lost. He'd just come through a stage, he'd lost 20-odd seconds. They didn't know what was going on, but they did manage to put things right. He got it right in his head, and it was a glorious drive from then on. But boys and girls, listen, we were discussing beforehand, before we came on to record the podcast, about news. And the one obvious bit of news that we didn't mention, and was it a surprise? Should it have been a surprise? Is it the right decision? Craig Breen back in the Hyundai for Finland. David, should we be surprised? You know, was it expected that Breen was going to be in the car for Finland?
I would say so, yeah. It was not a huge surprise to me when you consider what he did in Finland last year, and you also consider the fact that Sebastian Loeb isn't hugely at home, hugely comfortable in Finland, and Danny Sordo quite the same. You know, to an extent, Danny's not said he won't go to Finland. Of course he hasn't, but, you know, he's made it quite clear that it's not his favourite event. Breen was brilliant there. You know, he's finished on the podium there before.
If it's the first event back in a limited calendar, he'll be there,
yeah,
won't he?
For all the reasons that we've just discussed. So I can't see anybody better to put in the car. You know, I spoke to Andrea Adamo about it earlier this week for a news story that we're running in a couple of days, and he said, okay, Finland was magnificent. Wales was not so good for Craig. Sweden was so-so. Let's see in Finland. I think, you know, that's absolutely fair. Who else would you put in the car, Cole?
Well, I don't know, but what I do know is that I certainly wouldn't have Loeb in the car, and that's, you know, I feel terrible saying that. It's almost sacrilege to say that.
It is sacrilege. You will be burned at stake, Colin.
Thanks, George. Thanks, Lise.
It's okay.
But, you know, that final day in Monte Carlo, he lost something. He lost something, whether it was confidence, but whether it was... I don't know, but I wouldn't have Loeb in the car.
No.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't have put Sordo in it.
I don't think you would put Sordo in the car because Finland, as George will testify, knows better than any of us. You have to be confident and you have to be in exactly the right mindset. If there is an element of doubt in Finland, you're either A, going to have a massive accident or B, be nowhere. Is that fair, George?
It is absolutely the case. And one thing that's 100% certain is that Craig Breen will be incredibly motivated. Yep. It's Paul Nagel that's with him. I mean, there's a motivated co-driver for you. They will be focused. They will double down and work unbelievably hard. I hope they will. I'm sure they will. And again, you know, people can deliver surprise results in Finland. It can come, especially in this circumstance. People have been basically, you know, not doing anything for what will it be? Damn near 4 months, won't it?
Mm. Nearly four or five months, George. But here's something. You know,
we're going to move on from Finland in a moment.
Okay, one more point that I'd like to make, just for a quick observation from David and George. You know, I'm a massive fan of Andrea Adamo, and you know, just about everything he's done, every decision he's made, has turned out to be the right decision. You know, putting Craig Breen in for one rally with the pressure, because there could well be, more than likely there will be seats available next year. Putting him in for one rally and saying, prove to me that Sweden so-so could have been better, prove to me that GB last year, which was bad, should have been better. I think there's enormous pressure on him. I think he can cope, but I think there's enormous pressure.
But how do you know that he's not going to be in the car in Japan? How do you know? We don't know what Andrea's master plan is. No. And this is the big fact. You know, when I was lining up a call with Craig, I was thinking in my mind, you know, what to talk to him about. And actually, you know, we shouldn't talk about him coming back, him coming and going. He is part of the Hyundai team. He does a lot of R5 development testing. He does in a normal world, he would probably do quite a lot of development running, endurance running, whatever testing with the World Rally car, with the Rally 1 car. He is part of the Hyundai team. So, you know, let's get over this surprise or non-surprise that he's there. He's there because he's part of the team.
Good. Yep, I'll buy that.
So you mentioned testing back there, that the crews that will perhaps impress most of all in Finland may have benefited from testing. The time is ticking down until WRC cars can resume testing, but are five cars not subjected to that, I understand. And I understand Oit Tanak has been out having a bit of a spin.
Exactly. Yes, he has. And you're quite right, Lise. No, Rally 2 cars, as the R5 car is now called, are not subject to that testing ban, which, as we record on Thursday, is going to be discussed at WRC Commission on Friday. By the time this comes out, we will know exactly what June holds in terms of testing.
So go and check that article on dirtfish.com because you can read all about it as you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for remembering to say that, Lisa. So Tanak, he was working with his red-grey team, which is a private team, the team that he co-owns with Marco Martin, and they run Ole Christian Vaby and our Russian friend Nikolai Gryazin in WRC2. He used one of those cars near Otipa, south of Tartu, and just essentially went out there and had a spin. Did a bit more testing. What day did I say we are? Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. Did a bit more testing yesterday, even further south of there, in quite close to the border in Latvia, where there are some big jumps. And you should, probably by now you've already seen it, the video from there. A very nice Dirtfish video, courtesy of Oit's brilliant PR man, Henry Rump. Thank you, Henry. He's been out there, he's been busy. Of course, he's allowed. You know, Estonia's lockdown rules, sorry to say the lockdown word again, are less restrictive than ours. And you can see from the video that, you know, there's no spectators there. At all. They've done it in a pretty remote part of Estonia, and done it with all of the coronavirus measures in mind. And I spoke to Oit after the first test, and he was just over the moon to be back behind the wheel. You talk to all of these drivers who are doing a bit of e-gaming, simulator, whatever. There is no, absolutely nothing like getting in a car and flying. And pulling top gear and going through corners quickly. And he was just bubbling again. And it's a long time. You know, it's a very, very long time. So March, April, May, you know, we're over 2 months since these people have been flat out in a rally car. It's a long time since they've ever had a gap of this length. And it's a difficult time for them. So, yeah, so Tanak was over the moon. And we just wait and see exactly what he was testing for.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, won't it? And George, it's he's obviously in an R5 car. Really important that he gets into any car, I suppose. But you know, there's going to be a lot when they do resume this testing for WRC cars, and we should have a better idea by the time you hear this podcast. But there's going to be some pretty frantic activity out there, I would imagine, George. You know, when the testing ban is eventually lifted.
There will be, Colin. I mean, I think, and most of it will be, you know, drivers' anxiety or anxiousness, shall we say, to get same thing, anxiety and anxiousness, isn't it? Really, sorry. they'll be so keen to get back in the car. Really, they'll be desperate to just get their feet. Can you imagine Ott getting into the car? You know, his initial impression would be the car would be a little bit slow. Off the start line and through the first few corners, he'd be getting the feel for it against the power. How much is the car giving him in terms of its dynamics? How much is it giving him in terms of power? And, you know, within 2 or 3 kilometres, he would have had that car hanging out on the limit, thoroughly enjoying himself. And whilst undoubtedly throughout the hour or two or however long it was that he got to do a little bit of running, he might have been bemoaning the, 50, 60, maybe 70, 80 horsepower that the World Rally cars have over the Group N car, over the R5 car, sorry, harking back to my distant past, he would have been thoroughly enjoying it. And, you know, I imagine it would have looked just as edgy as a World Rally car. And for him in the car, it must have just felt great. I can be there with him just thinking my way through. It would have been wonderful.
Moving on, there is one team, of course, that will be more eager than the other two to get testing, and that's Toyota. Toyota Gazoo Racing, of course, has its new GR Yaris WRC, the 2021 car, which they began testing at the start of this year. Did some work in Finland while they could do some work in Finland, and then we saw them testing it in Spain as part of the Rally Mexico test, the pre-Mexico test. And since, what would that be, the end of March, whenever the testing ban came, April, the car sat there. That car has just sat there. And they're waiting to get back out, do some more development running with it. But from what we've heard already, from what the team's told us, it's already as quick as the current car. So, you know, I think with a bit more testing, that potentially is a good indicator to where the pace is going to be next year.
Yeah, but you know, it's not just about pace at all, is it, David? And you when you build a development program for a new car, you would rarely build in 2 months of
a downtime,
if you like, downtime. You would rarely say, okay, we'll get this ready 2 months before we have to have it ready, just in case. You don't do that. So the longer this testing ban goes on, what do we think? What potentially, George, David, could the implications be for that car? You know, it's got to be ready, clearly, for homologation. And that homologation will come when? November time?
Well, they'll start the homologation work. Yeah, the tests and the FIA will visit the factory in November, December, won't they, George? And
it'll have been ongoing. I mean, everything will have been in everything they're developing will have been put past FIA in some form or another.
Yeah.
It's a long time since I've been involved in any World Rally Car homologation, and I wasn't that involved. I've done an R5 homologation from very early to completion, and that's a very, very lengthy process. And certainly, you know, the point at which you're pressing the homologation button, you can change things. You know, the FIA or technical group are. They're a tough bunch of cookies, but they're very, very good and they're very, very helpful. You can work with them or you can be combative with them. In my case, I worked with them. I know people might find that hard to believe, but it's true. And in the team that I was in when we did that, and they were very helpful. But, you know, you're limited. So if you've not got something developed, you homologate it on that car and it's not right, you're going to have to play a joker. Now, it might be this year, maybe because of the lack of development time, they might be allowed an extra couple of jokers or a little bit of latitude given with respect to some dates and some late submissions, but they'll all have to be in before the homologation date.
Mm.
So, yeah, very, very limiting.
And it is, you know, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this is a very, very important car for Toyota as well. It's based on the new Yaris, and it's based, of course, on that GR Yaris, which is essentially a homologation special. It's a four-wheel drive road car, which is, for me,
I never thought we'd see one like that again.
No, I didn't.
Never thought we'd never see a car like that again. It's great that they've done it.
Exactly what I was going to say. Isn't it fantastic? And the opportunity to drive one of these things is sensational. So, yeah.
I'm going to speak to Toyota PR in GB, to my friend Scott Brownlee, and I'm going to see if he's going to lend me one as a pseudo-media person.
Put my name down.
I suspect.
No way can you be trusted with a car like that. No disrespect. Colin, it's setting you up. I'm not going to set you up for a fall. It's not fair. I like you too much.
I have lost the need for speed. My need these days is for fuel efficiency.
Well, go and drive a hybrid Lexus, or something then. You don't need to be driving a little GR Yaris.
It'd be fun, though. It'd be a lot of fun, that's for sure.
I'll report back after I've driven it.
Mm, do.
Can we move on to the calendar? I think it's... I mean, we're all speculating about what is going to be the first event back after this massive chasm of emptiness.
Don't say lockdown.
Without any rally action. I was avoiding it.
Not allowed to say lockdown, sorry.
We'll have to turn that into a drinking game, I think, at some point. And so, I mean, there are some events that have, you know, this year been on the calendar that have slipped away or potentially will slip away. And in certain respects, we've spoken about this before, but what are the future for some events that haven't run this year that may struggle to find the funding for next year?
Yeah. David, can I jump in there, David?
Yeah, do you mind? No, of course not.
You know, we did speak to Oliver Ciesla, and you will hear that interview at some point, hopefully, in the coming week. Now, it was 2 weeks ago I spoke to Oliver Ciesla, expecting a little bit more firm news about the remainder of this year's calendar. But he went further than that. He said that hopefully in the next week or two, and we're past that 2 weeks now, actually, we should be able to give you some more information about the remainder of this year and next year's calendar. But we haven't heard anything official yet, have we? The only thing official that we've heard really in that period was that Safari was cancelled. But we're not hearing any more. It's gone very quiet, David, but it's your former employers, Autosport, wrote a piece, I think, at the weekend, or certainly early this week, suggesting that both Japan and New Zealand were going. Now, Japan was a new one to me. I think New Zealand is almost written off. I think we can just about write New Zealand. But Japan surprised me. For Autosport, was there any substance to that? Did you find out?
I've no idea. I saw nobody was quoted in the piece, I don't think. But my understanding right now is that exactly the same as yours. Japan, there is no decision from Japan. Sources in New Zealand have made it quite clear that rallying is not particularly high. International rallying is not particularly high.
Can I just jump in very quickly there back to Japan about how important it would be for them to have a WRC event after having the massive disappointment of losing the Olympics and the Paralympics this year?
Yeah.
To have a high-profile, world-class sport, it would be something amazing for Japan. And I mean, potentially, this Olympics may never happen. This Paralympics may never happen if they can't get it going next year. So a massive, you know, having the WRC back in Japan with its passionate fans would be such an amazing thing for the country. It does seem very odd that it would have been struck off already.
Well, I don't think it has.
But, you know, I mean, just to skip back to New Zealand, they're about to, from what I understand, they're going to announce that they have what they call their bubbles, don't they? There was a new bubble being created to incorporate Australians, so the Trans-Tasman bubble. And that was supposed to come for July. I understand that's now going to be postponed until August. So if they're only willing to allow Aussies in August, can we really expect that they're going to let a diseased bunch like us Europeans in September? It is not going to happen.
I agree totally.
And that one will be postponed until next year, which is a great solution because it gives Australia another year to go and find a new base, whether that's Bathurst or somewhere else in New South Wales. Regardless of whether we love Coffs Harbour or not, it has not found favour with the promoter. So it looks as though Australia will move. So postponing New Zealand to next year, to 2021, gives the Aussies another year to go find somewhere new for that.
But here's the thing. Here's where things may change, David. Here's where things may change, I think. You know, don't forget that Rally Australia is backed by, in the main part, two sponsors, isn't it? It's Kennards Hire and it is the New South Wales state government. Mm. I suspect that the hand of the New South Wales state government will be strengthened by the current situation because money is going to be tight everywhere. If the New South Wales state government turn around and say the only way we will back this event is if it goes to, as you say, Mount Panorama, or should they say conversely, the only way that we're going to keep funding putting money into it is if it stays in Coffs Harbour, how petulant would we appear if we turned around and said, we don't like Coffs Harbour?
I'm not sure we'd be petulant, Cole, but we'd need to have a promoter that had a very firm plan with a very good rally to jump into the shoes of a Coffs Harbour-based Rally Australia. Right now, you know, we had lots of options, but this whole year, you know, it's costing us the chance to run, for example, if we needed to go back to France, do we need to have a candidate event? If that's the case, is this current predicament costing us the chance to have that candidate event in France? There's so much going on with the calendar that it's very difficult to call. But if we specifically talk about what's coming, Finland, we will find out from Helsinki, from the government in Finland in the next week, what their plans are to whether they're going to allow much bigger gatherings, mass gatherings of 1,000 people or whatever from the end of July. If that rule remains in place and they're only allowing mass gatherings from the end of July, I find it very difficult to believe that 1 week later we will rock up in Pavelyonki and have Rally Finland as we know it. There is the potential Rally Finland could move to September. Let's wait and see. New Zealand, we've talked about. Turkey, no idea. But parts of Turkey still in lockdown. Marmaris still in lockdown. There's always talk of financial issues with Turkey, with their sponsors. Is that going to come into play? GB, look on the Rally website, look on the Visit Wales website right now, and it's telling you to come back later. So how do we, you know, promote Wales?
And again, to stress for people who don't understand how it works, Wales also has its own government and will make its own decision regardless of what's happening in England and Scotland.
Yeah, exactly. Germany, I'm told, looks quite good. There's potential in Germany. Obviously, Germany's quite, the rally is now in quite a remote part of the country in Bostalsee. We're away from Trier.
Listen, that doesn't really matter, David. There will still be hundreds of thousands of people coming to rally Germany. Yeah. But the Germans seem to be comfortable that they can deal with that. Yeah. Listen, Germany is right in the middle of you. We get Polish fans, we get the Czech fans, we get fans from all around, the Spanish, the French, all around Europe come to Germany. But they seem comfortable that they can deal with it, and that's encouraging.
So here's the question now. So imagine we lose, so worst case, absolute shocking scenario, we lose Finland, we lose New Zealand, we lose Turkey, we lose GB. We keep Germany, so there we are, we've had a four-round calendar, and Japan is the fifth and final round. That's a pretty grim scenario. What do the teams do? You know, the FIA and the promoter and pretty much everybody has said, we need seven rounds to make a championship. Therefore, five rounds will not constitute a championship. So do we go to Japan? Toyota, of course, will lobby to go to Japan. But it's very expensive to get out there. I don't know. It's a big question. And that's, you know, we promised a couple of weeks ago, last week, whenever, not to pontificate. So...
That's not pontificating, David. That's trying to use our experience to perhaps.
Well, we have got positive shoots. We spoke about the green shoots.
Are we back on Colin's hair?
No, we're going to avoid those ones. Okay.
But that was borderline pontification. So I apologise for that.
Well, you gave us a whole list, Colin, when we were chatting earlier. Of events that were about to run that we could see the engines being fired up and that fabulous smell of rally fuel and dust and grease and, oh, I miss brake dust.
Mm. Yeah, brake dust.
guys, I think we're slightly missing one major point with this restart, and we're all talking about, you know, when will it be allowed? I'll reiterate the rather stark news that, you know, a vast number of people are losing their jobs. You know, all those fans that would normally be coming to rally Germany from Poland, from France, from Spain, half of them won't have jobs, Colin. It's a very stark, this closed down, has a very stark reality, which doesn't seem to have hit home yet. The press isn't focusing on that yet, but it's about to come, and it's going to be tough. And
I think it is. That's
where my comments on the reducing WRC costs and getting rid of the expensive cars, because money's going to be tight right across the way. I don't think there's going to be, you know, events looking for sponsors. Chances of them getting money from sponsors this year, you know, if they've not already got deals in place, negligible, I would have said. Yeah. Manufacturers, you know, they're all laying off factories. They're talking about restructuring, closing factories down. But, you know, they'll be looking for cost savings in their motorsport departments.
You mentioned there, George, about travelling as well. The fact that the aviation industry is going to be suffering. There's not going to be cheap flights. There's not going to be easy access to countries in the way that we've taken for granted over the years.
Everything's going to be tough. So, I mean, desperate as I am to get rallying back on the way, and I am phenomenally desperate, I think we need to... I'm really hoping that Britain can leverage an event this year. I really do, because that'll be key. Germany in great shape. Fantastic to hear.
What do we make though? What do we make of these national championships? You know, we've seen there's a selected bunch of events on the South Island in New Zealand. Is it a four or five round Australian championship with a finale in New South Wales that's still to be decided?
Rally de Roma?
Yeah, Rally de Roma. Yeah, how serious can we take these events? You know, I'm quite surprised. I've seen a lot of the input that they've, you know, a lot of the infrastructure in terms of coronavirus that they're putting into the Rally Roma, and it's great. But, you know, a month ago, Italy was just about at ground zero with this thing. And to be potentially talking about going there in a couple of months for a rally is, for me, it just seems remarkable.
It does, David. But I think what we have to applaud is the effort that the organisers are putting into that event. They've gone farther than really anyone else that I've been hearing about in terms of, you know, registering fans, registering media, registering engineers, mechanics, drivers, you know, everyone that wants to go to that event has to be registered. And they have, as you say, you know, a month ago, they were right at the centre of this epidemic, this endemic. And, you know, they obviously are going to have to work harder than anyone else to put any sort of mass attendance event on in the near future. And, you know, I applaud them. I applaud them for their efforts. And, we talked a few weeks ago about the need for a blueprint for how events might well, you know, going forward, how they might well restructure themselves to be COVID aware. You know, we misuse the word COVID safe because that's not possible. That's not possible. But COVID aware is a better way of phrasing it. You know, and I think this, you know, this effort that Rally Roma have put in is fantastic, and it does at least form. You know, if it doesn't happen, well, it's not through lack of trying. But what they've given us is actually a structure for how perhaps other events could approach things going forward, David.
No, absolutely. I was slightly distracted by an intriguing text message from Craig Breen, who I did wonder actually if he was listening into what we were talking about, but he wasn't.
That's freaky.
Yeah, it is.
little alarming.
No, you should. I'm sure probably by now you will have read whatever news that that Craig was about to impart on text there. By the time this comes out, it was very interesting. Rally Roma, Colt, just. Having spoken to numerous colleagues in Italy, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. You know, people are working very, very hard to make sure it does happen. There is, for me, in a place like that, there is a very real moral and ethical question that we need to ask about whether we can happily bring together a bunch of people. I understand there will be all of these safeguards and attempts to keep spectators apart. But thousands of people, 27,000 people, I don't know how many in Italy, have died, you know, not far away from there. And that's my only question, whether we can, if we can do it. Quite rightly you say, Carl, we can't do it safely. We can be aware of the risk. But I also get your point, George, that we need to start things. You know, things have to get moving again. We need, my words would drive a dagger through the heart of preparation companies that are working towards Rally Roma. I understand that they have to put food on their table as well. So it's a very difficult decision, and it's one I'm very glad I don't have to make.
Indeed, and I mean, you know, what we're talking about is trying to stop people catch something as in concept, it's a virus, as simple, you know, it could be a cold, it could be a disease like measles. It's COVID-19 in this case, which. Has a detrimental effect on quite a small number of people, but of course it's catastrophic when the wrong person gets it. I'm not quite sure where that leaves us in broad terms of people that go out and watch rallies are, you know, they're generally fit and able because they're walking out on stages. These are not the people that are likely to be victims, but of course, as we know, we can spread it, and therein lies the issue. We can spread it to vulnerable people. So
that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it's the rally fans. It's all fine but then we go home from watching a rally. We've caught it off the guy standing next to us. I go and see my you know, somebody's grandparents, and 2 weeks later they're
that's
dead.
That's it. There's the issue. But this goes
all the way back to a discussion, and it's not the time to have it again. But it goes back to the discussion we had weeks, if not months ago, about rallies with no spectators. From what you're saying, you morally, I suppose, in some ways, from the scientific point of view, that is the only way to do it.
Probably is
no
actually in reality. Yeah. It could well
be, but
the
reality
is that the whole of our commercial society is reeling in shock, and it'll be the smart ones that get started up quickly, and it will be that first out the starting blocks.
I have to say, boys, this last section was supposed to be a slightly more uplifting and joyous section.
What happened to those green shoots?
Yes. So it was my fault. Sorry, guys. I'm just saying. I guess my point is, and I apologise for dragging us back into that mire of COVID doom and gloom, is that we really need to kickstart our sport again very quickly. The survivors in business after all this, you know, in some cases 12-week shutdown, and our whole economy is in tatters. Make no mistake about that. So what my point is that the companies that get up back on their feet quickly are the companies that are going to survive. I want motorsport to be part of that. I want rally to be at the vanguard of that, obviously within all the guidelines, obviously with respect to looking after everyone around us. But please, let's try and get, you know, take one step, take another step, and just move it forward. Let's get moving again. these viruses have a habit of dying and disappearing. You know, we no longer have bubonic plague. The 1918 Spanish flu, as it was known, disappeared after a year, completely gone. So let's hope that COVID-19 has been the same. Let's get our sport kick-started, back on its feet, with respect, as quick as we can.
Well said, George. I think wraps up the way things are. And if you are listening to this podcast, remember you can get the very latest rallying news on dirtfish.com. Don't forget to check the news section and keep up with the very latest information, because there's a lot happening in the next few days after we've recorded this podcast that you will not want to miss. And dirtfish.com is the best place to go and catch up. Got to say, chaps, it's been an absolute delight sitting down and chatting with you once again.
Lovely. Thank you, Lisa. It's been a joy as always.
As always, Lisa. Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much.